Amen. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where there was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi his servant, Call the Shunammite. When he had called her, she stood before him. He said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? What wouldest thou be spoken of for to the king or to the captain of the host? She answered, I dwell among my own people. He said, What then is to be done for her? Gehazi answered, Verily, she hath no child. Her husband is old. He said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for the word of God. Your word is alive. Hallelujah. It's not just printed words on paper, but it is your life giving words, Lord. You said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Lord, we pray for the quickening power of the Holy Spirit tonight. I pray this word will come alive in our hearts, Lord, to help us to become everything that you said we can be. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The Bible says, and I read to you, that it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where there was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And it was so that as often as he passed by, talking about Elisha the prophet, he turned in thither to eat bread. Let me tell you something, friend. The day that you and I hear the word of God is the most important day of your life. Because the word of God is the power of God. Your healing is in the word. Your deliverance is in the word. Your joy is in the word. Your prosperity is in the word. Your peace is in the word. Your anointing is in the word. Your destiny is in the word. Somebody say, in the word. The Bible said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, the Word. And without Him, the Word was not anything made that was made. Everything begins with the Word. You can shout, you can dance, you can run, you can holler, you can talk in tongues, you can jump pews, and you can run aisles, but you haven't even got started until you get in the Word and the Word gets in you. I don't know what your situation, your condition, your problem might be, but I know what your answer is and your solution is in the Word of God. Yeah, tell somebody it's in the Word.
It's in the Word.
The Bible says, Psalms 1:7-20, He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. Can I tell you tonight, faith is the hand that reaches out and takes hold of the blessings of God, but it is the Word of God that quickens the hand of faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Stretch forth thy hand was Jesus' command to the man with the withered hand, and at His Word, at Jesus' Word, his faith came alive and he stretched out his hand. The Bible said, Elisha, this man of God, the prophet, passed to Shunem where was a great woman. Elisha represents the presence of God, the power of God, and consequently every good thing that we can receive from God. Oral Roberts used to say, miracles are coming towards you and passing by you every day. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and tell them there's a miracle coming your way. There's a miracle coming your way. Glory to God. Yeah, there's a miracle in the house right now. The Bible says in Luke 5 and 17 that Jesus delivered the word, and as he delivered the word, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Glory to God. What does that mean? That means when the word is in the house, there's power in the house. When the word is in the house, there's healing in the house. When the word is in the house, there's miracles in the house. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say it's in the house. Now the Bible says in Shunem, there was a great woman. If Elisha was here right now, he would say in Grover Beach Pentecostal Church of God, there are great women and great men. Hallelujah. Why don't you just look at somebody and tell them, you're looking at a great woman. You're looking at a great man. Now tell them that. You're looking at a great man. You're looking at a great woman. Now let me tell you, I want to help you understand some things tonight. One of the things that made this woman great was she made place for the prophet. In other words, she made a place for the word to live in her house. Oh, hallelujah. It's not enough for the word to pass by you every Sunday. You've got to take hold of the word and bring it into your house. Somebody say, take it home with you. Yeah, he said, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. The only word the Bible promises will bring life to you and health to your flesh is the word that you listen to intently and the word that you look at continuously and the word that you keep in the midst of your heart. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say it's in the word. In the word. In Shunem, there was a great woman. This woman had a reputation of being kind, of being generous, of being hospitable. But what really made her great was her insight. What really made her great in the eyes of God was her spiritual perception and her ability to discern where God was at work. No telling how many houses this man of God, the prophet Elisha, had passed by, and they failed to identify the anointing and recognize the presence of God in his life. He passed by many houses where no doubt there were many needs present, but they received no miracle because they did not perceive God in the prophet. Oh, hallelujah. One of the greatest gifts as a child of God is perception. Everybody say perception. Perception is not just sight. Perception is not just seeing. Perception is not just vision. I'm sure many people saw Elisha pass by their houses and maybe even said hello to him. And maybe some of them even said, there goes the crazy prophet again. I don't know. But it's not just about seeing. Perception is more than sight. Perception is the ability to see deeper. It's the ability to see beyond the surface. It's the ability to grasp with the understanding. Standing and to see with the heart and not the head. Somebody say, with the heart. Tell your neighbor, now be nice about it, but tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, could you get your head out of the way? I'm trying to see something. Now tell them, say, neighbor, you've got to get your head out of the way. You've got to get this with your heart. There's a revelation waiting on you. Now, there's a revelation waiting on you, but you'll never get it with your head. You've got to get it with your heart. Look at your neighbor, tell him this is a heart thing. It's a heart thing. Have you ever felt like you're on the verge of a revelation? Have you ever felt like you're on the verge of something from God that could totally change your life? Have you ever felt like you're on the verge of something that has the power to shift you to another dimension, another level in your faith, another level in your anointing, another level in your finances, another level in your ministry, and you know it's right there and you're on the edge of it? Have you ever felt that way? Oh, I've felt that way many times. There's something about knowing that you're close to something that can have a very powerful effect on you. It tends to make you very aggressive. And some might even call it pushy. Oh, I'll tell your neighbor tonight, I don't mean to be rude, but I'm close to something big and I don't want to miss it. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hand and tell God, I'm not going to miss it. Hallelujah. You see, I know in my spirit I'm on the verge of a breakthrough, and I know by the Spirit that I'm on the edge of a miracle, and I'm standing on the brink of a revolution, of a revelation that's going to revolutionize my life, and I don't want to miss it. Oh, hallelujah. Let me say it like this. I've missed it before. The miracle passed by my house. I never even recognized it. The glory came by me, but I was too carnal to see it. The power of God was right in front of me, but I was too focused on my problems to recognize the power. Now look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I missed it the last time, but tell them the last time was the last time. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The last time was the last time. Glory to God. Because I made up my mind, I'm not going to miss it again. I'm watching now. I'm listening now. I'm preparing now. I'm going to do whatever I got to do to get my revelation. I'm going to fast. I'm going to pray. I'm going to dance. I'll roll in the floor. I'll shout my hair down. I'll cry. Whatever I got to do. But by the help and the grace of God, the last time was the last time, and I'm not going to miss it again. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Didn't I even give you a title to this message tonight? Well, you might as well look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, if you can see it, you can have it. No doubt many people in Shunem missed their miracle for one major reason, pride. Many of them were too proud to admit they needed anything from God. What a contrast from the widow in Kings chapter 4 who was losing her sons, and they were coming to take her sons to pay off a debt. And she put her pride aside and came running to the man of God and presented her case. And the end result was she got out of debt, went into the oil business, and had money to support herself and her two kids and the man of God for the rest of her life. What a deal. Some of you missed your miracle. You missed your breakthrough just because you were too proud. Pride cheated you out of your blessing. You know, somebody said, oh, well, I don't. Well, let me just dig in here a little bit. It didn't come on your terms. And so you're ready to throw a fit, get mad at God, get mad at the preacher, get mad at your neighbor, just because God didn't do it your way. Like Naaman, he comes to the man of God. Instead of the man of God jumping up, running out to meet him and bowing down before him, he sends out his servant. He tells Naaman in so many words, go jump in a lake. Go dip in the mud puddle, Jordan, the Jordan River. But the Bible says Naaman was wroth, and he went away and stomped away. Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God. He will strike his hand over the place and he will recover the leprosy. Naaman's pride and his presumption almost cost him his miracle and likely his life. He already had it figured out how he wanted his blessing. He already had it figured out how far he would go to get his breakthrough. And when God didn't come to his terms, he was angry at God. He was angry. Naaman said, I'm not going to go down there and dip in that muddy mud puddle. That puny little dirty mud puddle. Pride almost cost him his deliverance and his miracle until he finally went down. Tell your neighbor, pride will cost you. Now watch this. This woman said, I want you to notice this. I love the scripture because the Bible says what it means. It means what it says. The woman says, now I perceive. That's in verse 9. And she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive. Behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God that passeth by our house continually. This means he's been making this track before. This means he's been passing by. But she had not perceived. Oh, hallelujah. She had not perceived with her eyes of her spirit. I don't know. We don't know how many times he may have passed their way before she saw with the eyes of her spirit. She saw him pass by. The Bible says he passes by continually. She saw him pass by, but we don't know how many times he had passed by before she saw with the eyes of her spirit. We miss miracles. We miss anointings. We miss revelations. We miss visitations many times because we can't get our heads out of the way of our hearts. Let me just say it like this. Sometimes God hides his anointing in a shepherd boy. Sometimes in a Gideon, hiding out in a wine press. Sometimes God puts his anointing in a stick, like Aaron's rod that budded and blossomed and yielded almonds. Sometimes God puts his anointing in a bush that burns with fire but refuses to be consumed. Sometimes he takes a nobody from nowhere who nobody ever expected to do anything or go anywhere, puts his anointing down on the inside of them and uses them to change the world and make a difference in the world. I want you to look at somebody, tell them, neighbor, don't miss this. One day, this woman looked at her husband, watch this, and she said, now, I perceive. In other words, she said, now the eyes of my spirit are opened. In other words, she says, now I see something that was always there, but I hadn't seen it. Oh, yeah, that's perception. Now I see something that was right in front of my eyes, but I couldn't see it. But now I've got a revelation. Now I recognize something that has already been there. I don't know, does anybody understand what I'm trying to say? Many times what you need is right in front of you. What do you have in your house? The prophet asked the woman. Just a little pot of oil. Well, that's all you need, he said. The miracle was already in the house. What's that in your hand, Moses? Oh, it's just a rod. Well, stretch it out, said God. I'll divide the Red Sea. Smite the rock and I'll bring water out of it. What's that in your hand, David? Oh, it's just a little slingshot. Well, let me help you with it, God said, and we'll kill every Goliath that raises up his ugly head. What's that in your hand, Samson? Oh, it's just the jawbone of an ass. Well, let me help you with it, said the Lord, and we'll kill 1,000 Philistines with it. Oh, what am I trying to tell you? What I'm trying to tell you, what you need is a revelation. What you need is a revelation. You need to see what you've already got. You need to see what is already present. You need an unveiling. You need a spiritual perception and the ability to see what is already there.
Amen.
Somebody say spiritual perception.
Spiritual perception.
What are you saying? Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying this. You don't need more faith. You need to use what you got. You don't need more power. You need to use what you got. You don't need more money. You need to learn how to use what you've got. You don't need more authority. You need to use what you've got. In other words, what we need is a revelation. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say revelation.
Revelation.
Now watch, friends. With the revelation to see what is already there comes the ability to put it into use.
Yes.
Glory to God. When you came to this earth, I talked about this the other night. When you came to this earth, everything you needed to fulfill your destiny was put inside of you. And what you need is a revelation of what's in the house. Whoa, hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody lift your hands and ask God for a spirit of revelation tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yeah. When you get a revelation of what's in the house, then you have to take responsibility to develop and put to use what you now have the ability to see. Now put your hands over your eyes and ask God to let you see. Come on, tell him, let me see. I want to see. Lord, open my spiritual eyes. I want to see. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now watch, friends. We're drawing some powerful things out of this portion of Scripture tonight. In between passings of the prophet, this woman got a revelation. She recognized the anointing of God in Elisha's life. And basically what she said to her husband was this, next time I'll be ready. Oh, hallelujah. Next time I'll be watching. Next time this man passes by this way, he's coming in. Oh, Rosh Hashanah. Next time I'll be listening. Next time, I'm going to be looking with the eyes of my spirit. Next time he passes by, I'm going to reach out and get a hold on him. I can hear that woman saying, I missed it the last time, but the last time was the last time. I refuse to let him pass me by one more time. This time, I'm going to make some room for him. I'm going to clear the clutter out of my life. I'm going to create an environment for the man of God, for the word of God, and for the anointing of God to be comfortable in. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say, make room for the word. Say, make room for the anointing. Now watch. Excuse all the commotion, neighbor, but I've got to make some room. I've got to move some things around. I've got to get my priorities straightened out. There's some excesses in my life that have to go. There's some movies I got to throw out. Some music I got to get rid of. There's some friends I got to cut loose that are holding me back. I got to make room for the Word. I mean, how important is it to you to reach your destiny? How important is it to you to become all that God ordained for you to be? You're going to have to make some choices to put the Word of God first. Say, put the Word first. And this woman was great because her spiritual eyes were opened and she recognized the authority of the Word of God and the presence and the anointing of God because she pursued the anointing. Every time we come to church, we should be looking for where God is moving. Pulling on the anointing. Pulling on the Word of God. Constraining Him. Seeking Him out. Tommy Tinney calls this kind of people God chasers. Because they want more than religion. They want more than church. They even want more than the blessings of God. They want the manifest presence of God. We want God. Korashiah. To possess the blessed, abundant life that Jesus came to give us, you must be able to see it. And to go a step further, you must be able to see yourself living it. It is impossible for a person to live in a manner inconsistent or contradictory to their perception or their self-image. Let me say it again. It's impossible for a person to live in a manner inconsistent or contradictory to their perception or their self-image. It doesn't matter. You can be the most beautiful person in the world, but if you think you're ugly, you will act ugly. If you think you're ugly, you'll walk around with your head down thinking that you're no good, you're not worth anything. I heard a woman preach a message one time I believe it was an African lady. And in this culture, the husband, if he's going to take a wife, he has to bring a dowry to the father. He has to bring something to the father to show that that woman is worth something. Well, this one particular woman was not beautiful, and she didn't think of herself as beautiful. She had an internal self-image of being very ugly and very worthless and useless, and walked with her shoulders all slumped over, her head down, and felt like she was worth nothing. But this man, when he wanted to marry her, most any woman in town was, any dowry that was paid was maybe one cow and maybe at the most two cows if she was just drop dead gorgeous. I mean, maybe two cows. You know, I mean, she had to be beautiful and cook and clean and all of it. Had to have it all going on. But if she had it all going on, she might be worth two cows. Well, this man fell in love with this woman and he wanted her to be his wife. And so he brought a dowry to the father. And when he did, he brought four cows. He brought four cows. Well, all of a sudden, this woman changed. Her attitude changed. Her thought process changed. She started looking different. She started carrying herself different. She started walking down the street with her head up and her shoulders squared back. And people started looking at her and said, that poor cow woman there. That's that poor cow woman. Hallelujah.
She started carrying herself like somebody. She started acting like somebody. Did anything change? You know what changed? Her self-image changed. She began to realize, I'm worth something. I'm valuable. Hallelujah. I'm worth more than one cow. I'm worth more than two cows. I'm worth at least four cows, glory to God. I'm valuable. Look at somebody, tell them, you're valuable. Say, so you've got worth. You've got potential. Tell them you're worth. Come on, tell them you're worth more than four cows. What am I telling you? We must see ourselves the way God sees us. When you see yourself the way God sees you, you'll think differently about yourself. When you see yourself the way God sees you, you'll act different. You'll talk different. You'll think different. Your whole life will change. There was 10 spies in the Bible, and there were 2 spies that ran with them. And the 2 spies that ran with them were Joshua and Caleb. And Joshua and Caleb saw the same thing that the 10 spies saw. But when the 10 spies came back, they said, we are like grasshoppers in the sight of those giants, and they'll just step on us and squash us. Joshua said, oh no. Caleb said, oh no. He said, God is with us and God is for us. And their defenses departed from them. And they are bread for us. What they were saying is they're just Cheerios for us. We'll just eat them for breakfast and get stronger. Hallelujah. What was the difference between Joshua and Caleb and those 10 spies? Well, Joshua and Caleb had an internal image of who they believed they were because they saw themselves through the eyes of God's word. God said, wherever you put your foot down, I'll give it to you. He said, I'll give you power, I'll give you authority, and I'll give you the land, and no enemy will be able to stand before you all the days of your life.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
You got to see yourself the way God sees you. See yourself. Say, see yourself.
See yourself.
Through God's eyes.
Through God's
you say, how can I see myself through God's eyes? Right here.
Right. Amen. Glory.
I'm almost done. The first generation children of Israel looked at the giants in the promised land. They perceived themselves, the 10 spies, to be grasshoppers. They passed that perception on to the whole tribe of Israel. They saw themselves as helpless little grasshoppers waiting to be stepped on by the giants. Their perception of themselves made them losers without ever entering the fight. They could not see themselves winning. They could not see themselves living in the land of abundance and overflow. They were like so many today. Though they are saved, they're being controlled by a mindset of inferiority. A warped perception of who God is and who they are. That's why there's so many women who stay in abusive situations, being abused sexually, verbally, emotionally. Why? Because their self-image tells them they don't deserve anything better. So they go from one bad relationship to another, allowing themselves to be put down, used, and abused. There's so many beautiful young ladies who are abusing their own bodies, cutting themselves, piercing their bodies, allowing themselves to be sexually used with no commitment because they see themselves as unworthy of a good, honest, and faithful man. There are so many young men that are smart, talented, good-looking. They end up in prison because somewhere down the line it was pounded in their minds that they were stupid, no good, and couldn't do anything right. There are people right now frying hamburgers, flipping pizzas, that should be in the corporate world making huge amounts of money, but somewhere somebody messed up their perception of themselves and they believe that's all they're qualified to do. But I came into this house tonight to change your perception because I want you to see the real you. I want you to see through to the real you. I want you to see who God intended you to be and who God created you to be. Because if you have been born again by the seed of the word of God, then you are somebody in God, and I want to introduce you to the real you. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, may I introduce you to the real you. If you're a child of God, my friend, you're an heir of God, and you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You're a son. You're a daughter of God. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're the redeemed of the Lord. You're a new creation. You're the head and not the tail. You're the lender and not the borrower. You're above only and not beneath. You're the apple of his eye. Oh, hallelujah. You're the salt of the earth and the light of the world. You're saved, sanctified, justified, and glorified. You're a partaker of his divine nature. You're the healed of the Lord. You're an overcomer. You're more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. I wish you'd just shake somebody's hand and tell them, man, you're somebody. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah, you're somebody tonight. In Jesus Christ, you're somebody. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want you to stand tonight. We're almost done. We're almost done. Hallelujah. Stand all over the house. I want you to do something. You just move right out into the aisle. Move across the aisle. I just want you to get close to each other. Just get close to each other. Korabashataya. I want us to do something tonight. I believe one of the greatest revelations that we can receive in the body of Christ, and I'm talking about over the entire body of Christ, is not of who God is, but of who we are. Because there's so many of God's people that still act like they're not even worth one cow. Maybe two at the most. Maybe half a cow. And they don't understand their value, their worth. They don't understand who God has made them to be and who God, what God sees when he looks through his Son. And he sees you to be. So tonight, the greatest revelation that we can have is not who God is, but it's who God has made us to be in him. So, because you cannot become any more than what you see yourself to be and believe yourself to be. Friend, when I look in the mirror, I don't see the same person I used to see. Because I don't look at myself for where I'm at in life and what I've accomplished in life. I look at myself through who God says I am. I don't look at myself through what people have said about me and through what people think I ought to be doing, through what people think would be the right course for my life or what I should be doing. It doesn't matter what people think. What matters is what does God say about you? What matters is what has God's Word said about you? You got to find yourself in the Word. Amen. I want you to put your hands over your eyes all over this building. Just put your hands over your eyes. And just for the next few minutes, I want you to pray for a spirit of revelation in this house. For a spirit of revelation, that spirit of revelation, that's what Paul said. I pray that God will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. I want you to open, just put your hand over your eyes and pray right now for a spirit of revelation to come to your life. Father, in the name of Jesus, for everyone here tonight, I pray, God, for a spirit of wisdom and revelation. I pray, God, that you will give them a revelation of who they are in Jesus Christ. I pray, God, that you will show them that they are above and not beneath, that they have been raised up and made to sit together with you in heavenly places. I pray, God, that you will reveal to them tonight that they are sons and daughters of God, that they are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you will reveal to them tonight that they are more than conquerors through Christ who loved them and gave himself for them. I pray, oh God, that you will reveal to them, God, their destiny in the Lord Jesus Christ. Show them, God, that there's somebody going somewhere. Show them, God, that they've got purpose. God, they've got potential. They've got power, Lord God. Show them, oh God, that they're valuable to you, God. That they're worth it, Lord God. That they're worth everything you invested in them, God. God, I pray, Father, let a spirit of revelation come to every heart and every life, Lord. And let everything, God, that would hinder this revelation be removed in Jesus' name. Let every thought, every imagination, Lord, everything, God, that would confuse and distort this perception of who they are in Jesus Christ, I pray right now, God, that it will be removed, Lord, that it be cast down, Lord God. We take authority over every thought, every imagination, God, that hinders and that opposes your divine purpose, God, and your divine will in their lives, God, and we cast it down in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. My friend, we're going to walk out of here tonight with our shoulders squared back and with our head up because we know that we're worth at least $4,000. Hallelujah. You're worth it. You're so valuable to God. You're so valuable to God. It doesn't matter what you've been through. It doesn't matter how many times you've been beat up. It doesn't matter. You might have crawled out from under the bottom of the dog pile. I remember that when you were a kid. You got the dog pile. Dog pile. Boom. You're on the bottom of that dog pile and you barely breathe and you crawl out. You might have crawled out from under the dog pile time and time and time again. But it don't matter. In Christ, He makes you the king of the hill. Hallelujah. I want you to shake somebody's hand, hug their neck, and I want you to just pour into them for just a few minutes. Just pour into them. You are valuable. You count. Your life has got purpose. Hallelujah. You're worth more than 4 cows. Glory to God. God gave His best for you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Work out my pocket.